Tuesday, May 31st, Board of Equalization meeting at 2:45, followed by Board of Commissioners meeting.
I'm gonna do it.
Have you got this?
I got it.
Thank you.
No, he called me a little bit ago.
Okay.
I'll get it to you.
Okay, so we're gonna call this meeting to order. Pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call.
Troy?
Here.
Bob?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Do we need to make a motion to excuse Scott?
Yeah, I will. I'll make a motion to excuse Commissioner Love. He called me and he is ill.
I'll second.
All right.
Bob?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the Dakota County Board Meeting Room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Dakota County Board of Equalization reserves the right to adjust the order of items on the agenda if necessary. Number one is going to be the consent agenda. A is approval of the previous minutes, May 16th, 2022.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes, approve the minutes from May 16th, 2022.
Okay.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move along to two. Then new business. A, Christy Apps, assessor requesting approval for clerical and omitted errors and tax list corrections.
So they're in Lincoln at a Turk meeting today, so they are not here. Christy and Melissa and Kim Watson are
Kim.
All there.
Everybody's gone.
So the first one is the parcel ID 2201-63-170. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. Tax list correction, yes. And I honestly don't have a lot of information on this other than what Joan sent you guys.
Okay. The reason for the correction is a mobile home was purchased by the court and is being burned down and removed from the court. Taxes were accelerated for 2022. What I see on the underneath there. So.
Okay. Do we need a motion to accept that?
And then the other,
one, the other page?
The clerical, yeah.
The clerical. That's the second page.
Oh. Right here. This one.
So the first one on the Crows, it just, the system didn't calculate it correctly, so it was a clerical error. And then that second one for Eckenkamp's, the land wasn't calculating correctly on that parcel, so they got that corrected in the system.
Okay. So both values increased because of the classification, it looks
mm-hmm.
like. Okay. I'll make a motion to accept the request for clerical errors to be corrected. Is that what that would be? Clerical error? Tax list corrections?
The clerical errors and also the tax list corrections.
The tax list. Okay. So I'll make a motion to approve the clerical and omitted errors and tax list corrections submitted today.
Okay.
Do I need to say the parcel numbers?
No, I'll put that in the minutes.
As the Crow, Acton Camp, and Parkview Industries.
I'll second that.
Okay. Roll call.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay, move on to three, mail and or emergency business. Is there any?
None that I'm aware of.
Okay, we'll move to four. Is there any public comment? No public comment. So we are going to five adjournment.
Okay. See, Larry? How easy that was?
Oh, yeah, that's great. Got the master doing it, though.
So
still got it, anyway.
I'm not the chair. He's the chair.
I just said none of that nervousness. You don't get nervous.
He just
had you run it for him.
Yeah.
Okay.
How was your weekend?
Good. How about yours?
Yes, sir.
Perfect. Today I got smart and roll.
Got a pen? Okay.
This is the chair.
You're the vice chair.
You're the vice chair.
You're the vice chair.
If I remember right.
Totally.
And you gave me permission to run the meeting.
Good.
Is that what happened?
Just one of them. How many of these I got to sign?
That's it. Just that top one is good.
He pointed at me and said, you better do this for me today or else.
Yeah, no, I said I'd be indebted to you the rest of my days.
Oh, I see.
I'm telling you, that'd be three local governors working on.
Meeting to order. We've already done the pledge. Let's do roll call, please. Sheree.
All right. Bob?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Troy?
Here.
And I'll make a motion to excuse Commissioner Love.
I'll second it.
Okay, Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes. Thank you. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The Dakota County Board of Commissioners reserves the right to adjust the order of items on this agenda if necessary. Item one is public comment. Is there anyone that would like to address the board on any item that is not on the agenda? Seeing none, we will move on then to item two is the consent agenda, which consists of the approval of the previous meeting minutes from May 16th, the approval of payroll claims, which I went over earlier today, and the approval, there was no AP, was there, Sheree?
There's a couple AP claims, one to Siouxland Transit, which is
okay.
On the agenda.
Okay.
And there's one for the Color Palooza run that's coming up for a bounce house.
Okay. So those are the two items on accounts payable. Otherwise, that is it for the consent agenda.
So everything appeared to be in order. Is that what item here?
Correct.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda items. Minutes, payroll claims, and accounts payable.
All right, thank you. Motion by Janet, seconded by Troy. Call the roll, please.
All right. Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
All right. Item three, under new business, public hearing for the purpose of receiving evidence, either orally or by affidavit from the applicant and any other person bearing upon the property of the issuance of a liquor license for the following business. Old Dane, doing business as Landman Golf Club, 2073 South Bluff Road, Homer, Nebraska, for a Class 1 beer, wine, distilled spirits on sale only. So at this time, I will open the meeting and ask for anyone here to speak in favor of the application. Is there anyone here from...
Yeah, I'm here
yes.
from Landman.
Would you come up and name an address, please, for the record?
My home address or business address, where we're going to have the golf course?
That's fine.
I believe...
2073
South Bluff Road, yep, and okay. It's in Homer.
Okay.
My name is Adam Fletcher. I'm the general manager out there. We're seeking a liquor license through the Old Dane for the golf course, the
okay.
new golf course.
All right. Well... Did you ever think you'd get to this day?
No, I did not. Things are moving quickly now.
All right. Anything else you want to add?
No, just the approval.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Anyone else here to speak in favor of the application? All right. Anyone here to speak in opposition to the application? All right, anyone here to speak in the neutral position for the application? Seeing none, I will close the hearing. 304, Sheree. And we will move on to item B then, is the board to approve or disapprove the issuance of liquor license for Old Dane, doing business as Landman Golf Club, located 2073 South Bluff Road, Homer, Nebraska, for a Class 1 beer, wine, distilled spirits, on sale only liquor license. Any questions from the board? No?
I can make a motion to approve the license for Old Dane, doing business as Landman Golf Club.
I'll second.
Okay. Motioned by Janet and seconded by Larry to approve. Call the roll, please.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All righty, it is approved. You're off and running.
Thank you.
You bet.
When's opening day?
Public will be September 3rd.
September 3rd.
8 a.m.
All righty, great. That's good news. Good luck.
Yeah,
thank you.
Excited.
All right, moving on to item C, Brian Pearson, SEMCO Assistant Transit Director, requesting board to approve funding the Siouxland Regional Transit System busing in the amount of $12,000 per year to assist with the expense of 1,200 rides per year in rural Dakota County. And we are to approve, if so, accounts payable claim due June 24, 2022. Brian, would you like to address the board and kind of give a synopsis of where we've been and where we're going?
Okay, I'm Brian Pearson with Siouxland Regional Transit System. I'm the assistant director. And starting July the 1st, we're beginning to start a new service here in Dakota County. We receive funding through the state of Nebraska for federal funding. And that will allow us to transport people from out of the county throughout Dakota County. This is a great opportunity to be able to do this for all the people here in this community. The money will be part of the support for the 1,200 rides per year. If they exceed the rides, we will kind of bear the cost of that with Siouxland Regional Transit System. We are in the process of a Medicaid contract that will also offset the cost of the expenses. The federal funding is 50%, and then the other 50% has to be covered local support or some type of contract through Medicaid. We're also looking at nursing homes as well. There are a lot of people here in this community are very excited about this transportation. So we already have received calls into our office for the rides.
And the time frame, Brian, is
July the 1st.
And the daily schedule is?
The daily schedule is 5:30 in the morning to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. So the potential riders or clients will be able to call the number that's listed in the minutes, and they can schedule a ride, and it's on demand. So it's whatever the needs are with the client, they're able to ride.
And this is countywide.
Countywide.
Correct? So if somebody called from Hubbard.
Yes, I'm going to call from Hubbard, Homer, Jackson.
That needed a ride, they need to go pick them up.
We can go pick them up and take them throughout Dakota County.
Uh-huh.
If there is a group or person that rides just within South Sioux City, they have to use a fixed route because the city bus runs a fixed route in South Sioux City, but we can take clients into South Sioux City and bring them back into the county.
Well, I know just from speaking from experience, for instance, there's people that get out of that are here at the courthouse for whatever reason,
correct,
don't have a ride, they can call not Brian, but yeah. Sir,
he'll call one
and,
of
and again, get it right. Yeah. So really, it's like a free Uber,
right?
Anywhere in the county, you just have to call and there's been a lot of Janet. You were involved in some of the early discussions on this. Brian's done a lot of work to get us to this point here today. Originally, the money that they were looking at for the county to put in was substantially more than $12,000.
I think it was a full grant originally.
It was the total amount was $283,000. So the federal government gives supports 50%, and then you have to get the other 50%. We had some conversations with Tyson and other companies within Dakota County for their support. So we just ended up saying we want to at least be able to start the public service, get Medicaid going, and then we'll go from there. We're also looking at nursing homes as well. Just a lot of great things going on with what we have. So hopefully by the end of this week we'll have a Medicaid contract, so that'd be able to take non-emergency medical patients to doctor visits. I know that there are cancer patients here in South Sioux City, Dakota City, that need to go to Omaha, so we'll be able to help those clients, as well.
What about rural residents? Are you going out into the country, rural residents?
Is it within the county you're referring to? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Between Homer and Hubbard.
Yeah, someone needs Jackson to go to Homer to Hubbard or wherever, go back and forth, yes. We're going to move around.
If you go like out to Hubbard and there's four people or three people.
Correct.
Want to come in, we'll say to the courthouse.
Right.
Or to a doctor. But their schedule's 2 or 3 hours apart of one another, of those three. Do you go back in every...
Yeah, we would. We have drivers that currently live in this county.
Mm-hmm.
So we've already have at least two that are interested in being drivers.
It looks to me like you'd have something yeah. possibly going back and forth.
Yeah.
How many vehicles are there to do this?
So we have a fleet of buses. We have like 50 buses.
And we have over 50 drivers here in the county?
Well, we'll operate at least two or three buses. And if we see the need, we'll increase. We have enough buses. We have more buses than we have drivers.
That's an issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's been talk before about buses potentially coming to rural Dakota County, and initially when Brian was here, the Dakota County, our cost was going to be well over $100,000. I mean, so there's been a lot of people looking for transportation, but Brian has been, and that was, there was a couple grants involved, and Brian's been working on that. So the $12,000 really is a yearly contract, and so if the ridership is not there, it's not a, which I think it will be. I mean, there's just a lot of people, and when the word gets out that you can get a ride anywhere in the county.
So the riders don't have to pay anything?
No. So
there's no criteria for rides?
Yeah, no criteria. As long as they're going back and forth, here in the county, then they can be able to get a ride.
And was part of this with our employers in the region. So are the transit buses also going to work with the employers as well? Because that was part of what we talked about.
Right.
It's tough for some of our employees.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I know we've had some conversations, as I mentioned, with with Tyson and some of the others. I think for them, they're looking at more of a vanpool option, since they just work different shifts. Having an employee drive a van, a couple drivers, and then have the riders with them. and that would suit them more. So, you know, for us is, you know, just making sure that we get the local support with the riders, we get the Medicaid contract, we build, you know, the service. We feel very confident it's going to extend over 1,200 rides. I mean, that's like 100 rides a month. And once the word gets out, that's going to go up. And so it's like Sioux Land Regional Transit System, along with Dakota County, we're just kind of splitting, you know, some costs here. Because again, if it extends that, you know, the rides will be on us. You know, and that's for us to build the, you know, build the service up through the Medicaid contract. And then we have applied to get some other contracts as well with the state on waivers. So it's in terms of like Medicaid. So that's going to increase the ridership quite a bit. You know, that would be able to, again, bring clients out of the county, you know, into Sioux City, Dakota Dunes, you know, places like that. Omaha.
Will we be able to get like monthly reports or quarterly reports?
Yes.
Or semi-annual reports just to see what,
yes,
the usage is?
Yeah, because we track all of our ridership every month, and we'll have this separated. I've told my team we'll separate the buses that we use. We'll separate also just the ridership. You know, we'll be able to track it. We've already have talked to the software group that we deal with, and so we're able to, you know, put in a Dakota County funding source, so that way we track the rides and we'll be able to gauge the ridership.
You mentioned, is it just for seniors?
No, it's for anyone.
Is it,
yeah,
is
anyone.
Young people can hop on and...
Anyone, we're open to the public, so anyone that wants to ride, they can ride.
But then would Medicare, you said you'd go back to Medicare if the rides exceeded the number?
So what we're doing to kind of support the local support, because I had mentioned, you know, you got 200, so the local support is 141,000. So we're asking for, you know, 12,000 to get the public service rides going to support it. And then how we're going to support the other part of it is through a lot of, can be like through like Medicaid, the nursing homes, you know, places like that to help build that support. So we can go back, you know, to the federal government when we apply next year that, hey, we got the local support, the county is supporting, and then we're, you know, going through the Medicaid contracts and some other, probably, the ridership, I expect, is going to increase greatly. And then once the businesses see, you know, the buses and they know that the rides are available, that's when we expect that they will, you know, reach out to us. And then, you know, the whole intent for us is to get more local support through other companies. And by doing that, that also lowers the potential support from the county as well as we look at future years.
Brian, they had a couple of grants they were applying for early on. One was 100% would be funded, which they didn't get. And then the next step down was the 50, or and our involvement at that time would have been over $100,000 initially when we met with Brian. That was what they were asking for the county. Well, that's a lot. You know, we don't know what the ridership's going to be. But anyway, so Brian has been working on this, and then the latest effort as we're at 12,000 for 1,200 rides, which is and it's free for the citizens that are going to use it. So I really think it's a good investment, and we can renew yearly as we go forward for the county. And I hope it takes off like I think it will.
Yeah.
In Iowa, the riders do pay a nominal amount, don't they?
Yes.
Because we use your service when I worked at the college.
That's
but we
correct.
Had, it wasn't free. It was, but it was very reasonable.
Right, exactly.
So why is this particular model free?
Well, it's because we're starting a new service.
Okay.
And so we want to be able to get the service going.
But at
and
some point it would potentially, I guess I'm just curious.
At some point, yes. If it grows exponentially and we get other companies involved, then we would be looking at more looking at support. We'd be looking at maybe a certain trip rate within the county as well. It just depends on how we put things together. So like different areas, we have different contracts. Like Sergeant Bluff, we have a different contract with them than the city or the schools, the nursing homes. So we look at ridership and we base it on our cost per mile, and we determine, where we're going to set the cost. But since this was very unique and we were looking to get two grants, so I applied for two grants. One was 50% federal, the other 50%, comes from local support. And then the other grant I applied for was 100% federally funded. So the initial intent was, if we got the 100% federally funded, then we wouldn't look at maybe local support. We would just take that 100% federally funded money and just use those funds, draw down on those funds, and it would we could gauge ridership and grow it from there.
So this would just be a one-year commitment that we could review.
I'll be providing the numbers. I'll keep you posted every month, because we have to do reports that we report. We report into the state as well, so I can give you those numbers and say, okay, here's the ridership for this month. It's 104 of 200, and we're being very conservative with those numbers. When we looked at 100 trips per month.
Yeah.
If you have an individual, say like Alta Hubbard.
Yes, sir.
An elderly person who's got to get to the doctor, say at 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning, how do you know that she or he's got to be at the doctor's office? Do they call you?
So what happens?
Set up an appointment ahead of time?
That'd be correct. So what would happen is that client would call in to the dispatchers. It's okay, I need a ride, at this time, and then we will schedule it, and then the driver would pick them up. Usually we have a 30-minute window, and we pick them up within that window. And then the return, usually we call that a will call. If they go to the doctor's office, we don't know exactly what time they're going to return. They can give us an estimated time, and then we'll put that in so the driver knows to be close to pick that person up. We have a very sophisticated dispatch system with our drivers and also with the dispatchers as well, to make sure that we have a pretty seamless process. Keep our own time performance up, keep lates down, just making sure that we're serving the client. That's the reason why we operate, is to serve the client. Only thing else I need to add is this would be great for Dakota County, great for our community. I think we'll all look back at this and be very proud of ourselves. We're doing something very fundamental for Nebraska, for the tri-state area.
I agree.
Okay.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you very much.
I can make a motion to through the funding of for 1 year, can I say subject to quarterly reports or something like that?
Sure.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve a 1 year commitment subject to quarterly reports on ridership.
I'll second that.
All right. Motion by Janet, seconded by Troy to approve the $12,000 per year.
What's the phone number that people can call?
Do you
have it? I can give it to you. It's okay. It's the number that's going to be listed. I can give you the number. Okay.
I think there's a lot of people that need.
Yeah, absolutely,
rides.
Absolutely.
You know, I know people that friends that just they rely on friends all the time to do
yeah.
this.
Yeah. All right, you got that, Sheree?
Yep. Okay, so roll call, Bob.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
All right, motion approved. Thank you, Brian, for your work, and we'll wait to hear from you. All right, moving on to then to item D, Alicia Barclay, Pony Express Stores, requesting approval of a special designated liquor license for a racing event on June 19, 2022 at Etiquette Downs Racetrack from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Alicia?
Hello.
Hello.
So I'm Alicia Barclay. I'm the Retail Operations Manager for Pony Express. The annual horse race is coming up. It's on June 19th this year. So we're requesting our liquor license. I have the diagram and the map that we usually provide. It's going to be the same setup as last year. Same rules, we'll have wristbands. There'll be uniform security there. So I guess I don't know what else you need from me.
And no rain.
Hopefully, yeah. Last year got cut very short.
I know. I think that we've done this for several years now, I think.
I'd make a motion we approve it.
Okay, motion by Larry.
I'll second.
Seconded by Troy to approve the permit. Call roll, please.
All right, Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When you guys sign this, or should I leave it? Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. My email's on there.
Will that work? Okay. All right, thank you. Moving on then to item E, Heather Millard requesting county support for economic development project in rural Hubbard. Heather, hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So I put a packet on your spots, and a couple of you handed it to you personally. I've been working on this project now for about a year. With a little bit of time off with Grandpa passing away. The plan is on M Avenue, just south of the lake, there's a beautiful hillside view. And you'll see, I think, page 3-5 is the view from where I'm looking at putting the structures. What I'm looking at doing is putting up a barn and restaurant with a breezeway between. And then on the downside slope is putting cabins up, which are illustrated in all the pictures I gave you. So essentially on page 3 is kind of like what things would look like on the grounds. My plan is to use approximately 20 acres at this point. I'm trying to leave the natural beauty of the hillside alone and just impacting where the event center will be. I want this to be somewhere where you can pretty much just enjoy nature, get out of town. With Dakota County right now, Jackson, the Lariat closed, so there's nowhere to go in Jackson right now. The gas station closes at 8 o'clock at night, so most people don't have anywhere to eat past 8 o'clock. Hubbard, they have the garage. She's been looking to sell, so there'll be a gas station, basically, in Hubbard. With the lake here, there are so many opportunities to get people involved in the tourism to bring them to Dakota City or to Dakota County, other than just coming to South Sioux. I feel like the lake is very underserved at this point because there's just so much out there that can be happening. 3 miles to the west, or excuse me, to the east will be the new Landman. So this will give people a place to go and eat afterwards. The restaurant side, it will be an outdoor patio where you can bring your family and have some ice cream and watch the fishermen and just somewhere in Dakota County where you can enjoy nature, but yet get married, have family reunions, go out to eat, just something more than what we have right now. The problem that I've ran into with grant opportunities, with funding opportunities, typically I would go to an economic developer. We don't have one. Mm-hmm. And so I've worked with Oscar a little bit in South Sioux. And I've worked with the lady at Northeast Community College. I've been working with a gentleman down in Lincoln from the tourism. I've worked with Jeff Fields at Game and Parks. So I've got a whole circle and a whole network. My issue right now is when it comes to funding, I would get much better grant opportunity and funding opportunity working with the county. So what I'm looking for is a partnership to build this and to make this something that obviously will be great revenue streams for Dakota County, because it is something that we don't have. If you look at the area map, in our area, we don't have something like this, not even close. So it's an opportunity that gets people out of Celsu, out of Dakota City, and bringing people in from all areas. I've had people contact me about adding a vineyard to it on the bottom side of the hill. Just different opportunities that are out there, but what I'm really looking for is partnership with the commissioners, aka the county, to get this really going and get it off the ground.
Okay. I don't know the answer, so I'll ask the question. So other counties that have...
Burke County's done this, Hall County's done this, the place in Fremont has done this.
A partnership.
Partnerships. So
like,
as an example, Oscar sent me the tennis court here in Celsu. The tennis court in Celsu applied for the CCCFF grant through the state of Nebraska, which is a community and civic funded grant that's out there. They, in essence, owned the land, the city of Celsu, for 5 years and leased it to the company that wanted the tennis court in order to get rewarded the grant. And after 5 years, it then became ownership of the company that had to come up with the other half of the grant. Having those kind of opportunities is what I'm looking for. Because, for instance, if the board would support my project, I could work with Simcoe. As an individual, I cannot. They don't work with individuals. They work with municipalities, they work with the county, that's what their focus is on. They don't work with one person business or an individual. So what I'm looking for is something in the terms of what Celsu did with the tennis court, in essence, is be a partner. Be an investor to the county in a project of this scope.
Who owns the land?
Yeah, who owns the land?
Bryce Anderson.
Okay.
So in Celsu, the city owned the land.
Initially, they didn't. So they went back, and I have the contract and everything if you guys want to see that. But in essence, they had to put the name of the tennis court into the city's name. All of the bills, all of the ownership, all of those things, the general dailies, became responsibility of the owner after 5 years. But during the general day-to-day, for the first 5 years, in name only was that property so that they could get the grant, is how Oscar did it, Oscar and the other party.
But I don't know that the county can own anything that's not a public... I guess that's where I'm confused. I mean,
they can. As a municipality or as a interested party or as... there's opportunities out there with the grant. I've been on all the government grant sites. I've talked with the tourism people in Denver. And he said my first stop needed to be here to get the support from the commissioners and the partnership with the commissioners. That would open many more doors for me than me just beating on doors as a small business.
So what is your then, Heather, going forward then, if we were involved, what would be your the scenario? What would our role be as the board or as the county in your project?
In my perfect world, you'd be my partner in aiding me to get grants and get the funding going.
Which
are you taking my letter of support?
No, hold on.
Okay.
So in a perfect world, you would be my partner to help me get the grants, to get all of this off the ground. Mm-hmm. I, in turn, would be responsible for everything, all the day-to-day, all the costs, all the everything. The taxpayers, the county board, nobody would be responsible for any of their costs or any other investment to the project. I would be responsible for furnishing all of those. You are our partner in name only. You open more doors as a name than mm-hmm. you do anything else.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking for.
I wonder if Kim is familiar with how that works. I guess I don't know. I mean,
I have a question.
Sure.
Burke County, I'm very familiar with Burke County. What's the place that they're partnered with?
The economic developer. I have her email. She just said that they've worked on projects similar to this for CCCFF grant funding. The CCCFF grant funding has been involved since 2006. So multiple counties, the only ones that can't get involved is Grand Island, Kearney, Lincoln, and Omaha, because they have other grant opportunities. This is more for civic and community grants in the state. And if I own.
So, Heather, then, going forward, you would say apply for something, and it was, so it would be you and Dakota County.
Right,
would
for
be
the next 5 years.
Applying.
Right, for 5 years. Then after the five-year term is over, your investment or your part of it is done. All your bills, all of those things, you have no bills. You're in name only to fulfill the grant obligations. Most of the, like CCCFF grant, is a match grant. So if they give me $1 million in grant funds, I have to find $1 million in investor funding. But that gives me a $2 million, which would complete my project. And that's what I'm looking for. If I can't find the $1 million in match, then the grant's not applicable. The project's done.
Okay.
But essentially, that's what I'm looking for. If we had, like I said, if we had an economic developer, I would be taking this to them.
Yeah.
Like I did Oscar. Oscar was an amazing resource for me.
Yeah. Do they have the economic development director in with the city of South Sioux now? I know Oscar is a good resource, but do they have one per se in South Sioux?
I don't know.
They did at one time. I don't know if they do today or not.
I don't know. I've just been using Oscar as a resource.
Okay. Maybe he is. Maybe he's it.
I don't know what his title is anymore. He just was an awesome resource to go to when I was asking questions. I know.
Yeah, so I'm sure he sent you to Nebraska Department of Economic.
No, actually, he's the one that introduced me to the CCCFF grant.
Okay.
And he sent me their contract that they use because this would be perfect for that. Mm-hmm. So then I got a hold of Mackenzie Waldron, which is the director of this particular grant, and worked with her on this particulars of how that had to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are in Simcoe. We're on an economic development group with Simcoe.
Right. But I can't work with them. So when I talked to Joan directed me to Northeast Nebraska. She directed me to Simcoe. She directed me all these other places. But as an individual, I cannot work with them. They can't help me. They can't answer my questions. I've talked with Simcoe after going to a Hubbard Village meeting. And she said it would be a great project. And there are tons of grant opportunities out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the municipality of Hubbard didn't want to get involved because they were afraid of their overall costs, which they weren't listening, to put it bluntly. I mean, if I can't come up with the other investment side, there's no cost to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the contract terms. That's in writing in the contract.
And would that be our
situation
as
exactly.
well? Exactly. Okay.
There's zero
cost
to you.
What are your costs? I guess, I mean, you had to have priced this out.
Projected costs, this is a $2 million project.
Oh, I see. That's what you're saying. A million match and a
right.
million.
Right.
Okay.
So the match would come from Dakota County taxpayers then?
No, not at all.
Well, who would it come
from? My investors.
Well, you've got investors?
Yes.
Oh.
I do. So my goal is to have a match grant program. So my investors aren't footing the cost of the whole complete project. I mean, let's be honest, in today's market, it's really hard to come up to somebody and say, do you got $2 million? Versus if I said, do you have $1 million? And some skin in the game for myself to make this work and work it out, then that's what this is. That's what I'm asking for. I don't want the taxpayers to put any penny of this. I mean, I overheard you guys talking about M Avenue and paving M Avenue. That would be perfect for this. Because you're paving this to a destination where people are going to travel to be.
Well, Heather, if you want, I mean, I would, just going forward, I mean, I would be available. I mean, if you want to involve me on a conversation with somebody that we can take a look at this, or, for instance, the other counties you mentioned that do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think, I'm just speaking for myself, that if we can help you, I mean, I think it's a great project, and obviously you're pretty fired up about it. So, you can, you know, I'll give you my number, or, you know, you can.
But having you
me.
As an individual, that as much as I appreciate your input, mm-hmm. it doesn't help me for my project. What I'm looking for is board support.
Right.
But I guess we need to understand exactly what that entails. But yeah.
So
I think
so
you're right.
we would do that. I mean, I
so it'd be it's a contract that would be written, and I wish Kim was here so that she could under listen and hear what I'm saying. Mm. The contract would be written that there is no responsibility of monetary value of the board or its residents. This is a namesake only for grant purposes or funding purposes.
Right, and that's why I just wanted to offer, you know, I don't think anybody on the board is opposed to helping you with your project.
Right.
Especially when there's no cash, there's no taxpayer money being used, et cetera, et cetera. So if you can, you know, include me, if you want to, you know, if we have to meet with somebody, another county that can show us, okay, look, here's what we have in place, here's the agreement, et cetera, et cetera. We can bring it to the board, and I'm not speaking for the entire board, but I don't think anybody would be opposed.
I'll send you one from Oscar about the tennis court, and you'll see the legalese that's in there. Yeah.
Okay.
So you understand what, and Janet, I can include you.
Yeah.
But it would be nice if I can get going on this, like having Simcoe, someone, Bob, going to Simcoe with me and saying, yep, we support the project. Tell me how this would work.
Well, Brian's here. We can talk to Brian. No.
Yeah. I work with Amanda.
Amanda Harper? I think she left.
Oh, I'm sorry. But anyway, yeah, Heather, I think the support.
I mean, your theory is good. I mean, it's what we need, but I guess we need to really understand the liability that we would be accepting. I mean, letter of support is easy enough to do, but
right,
is there liability that goes with that? Requirements, you know,
right?
That sort of thing is what we need to.
So if we need to, if we need to set up a meeting with Simcoe, that's fine.
Okay.
I mean, I'll go with you.
Okay.
Or I mean, they're here from time to time for meetings. So.
Is it monthly or bi-monthly meeting? You just had the one.
I would rather have an individual meeting with them instead of because then that way questions can be asked specifically and I'll get this to whomever is the one in charge of this kind of
project. Well, Michelle is the director over there, correct? Yeah, so Michelle.
I think Victoria does a lot of this.
I talked to her, too. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I think it's a worthwhile project, Heather, and you know.
Especially if you guys are going to pave it, that's huge for the area.
Oh, absolutely.
We're looking at paving it.
Absolutely.
I know your mind isn't made up. I heard you talking. But, I mean, it's just there's a lot to that area. And I think there's more opportunities than just having a lake in the middle of nowhere.
Right, right.
It's so beautiful.
I agree.
It is.
Well, thanks. What's the chance the state will go ahead and build cabins there like they do in Ponca?
They're not going to. I've already talked to Jim Fields. They have no wish, want. They didn't even want really much to do with it as it was. They don't man the little shack that's down there.
No, they don't pay any taxes. There's no revenue to the taxpayer.
So in order to get a fishing license or a stamp to get into the park, you're on an honor system. Let me just tell you, it doesn't work very well. I've been in there enough to tell you that. I want this to be, if you want a fishing license or a stamp to get in, come up to the restaurant and get one. Because, I mean, be fair, be right. But I want to put cabins down there so that, like, I don't have an RV. I don't want an RV. That's just one headache I don't want. So having cabins to take my family to on a random day would be great.
All right, we'll get together.
Okay.
You have my if not my email and phone number is all over the place. So
okay.
All right, thank you for your work and towards the project. And
thank you.
You bet. You bet. Okay, item F. Then is to approve resolution 22C011 for a pledge security release. This is just a formality from the treasurer's office that they do with a local bank, and we do these pretty regular.
Okay. So they're going to release one of the securities we have, it looks like.
Right.
The bank first.
Right.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve resolution 22C-011.
I can second.
All right. Motion by Janet, second by Larry to approve the pledge security release. Call the roll, please, Shereen.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carried. All right. Item G is to approve resolution 22C012 to declare the 2004 Caterpillar as surplus to sell on Big Iron.
Is our new machine here?
Yeah,
it's here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's get here.
We still have the old one, too. In Hack, we're using it today, but since it broke down.
This one right here is being used today?
The old one, yeah.
Yep, the one we're going to sell.
They're working on these injectors.
I'll refer you to, you've got two guys on this one, whether it's surplus or not.
I mean, it was a good thing it wasn't traded in. It had been gone. We had been sending them a gold machine.
Yeah.
Actually.
So is it too early to do this?
What?
To declare a surplus?
Oh, or? I don't know. I think I would.
Or do we need to have a spare machine around?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
No. I think we get by with five machines and we got to sell them.
Okay. Well, I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 22C-012 to sell the Caterpillar on surplus on Big Iron.
Okay. I'll second it. Motion by Troy, seconded by myself, to approve the resolution to put the Caterpillar on the Big Iron surplus sale.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay, under item 4, miscellaneous, Jolene Goebbels. She is not here with us today either. She was not feeling too good this afternoon. Her road report, Troy, do you want to run through it real quick?
I'll do the best I can. Total road maintenance was 315.75 hours. Overtime hours was 21. Tree debris removal was 33 hours. Culverts Road Projects, 45 hours, Wiggle Creek, 28 hours, South Bluff, 20 hours, South Bluff. Garbage pickup, 33 hours. Gravel hauling was 77 hours. We had 1,007.15 tons of 1.5-inch crushed concrete hauled, gravel, concrete. Sign repair, barricading, 22 hours. Road concerns, grading, Elgin Avenue, O Avenue, Fiddler Creek, R Avenue, M Avenue, T Avenue, Gravel, Elgin Avenue, and 200th Street.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions? I guess there's nobody to ask questions too. Larry, do you have any comments on the road?
No. Not really.
No? Okay.
Yeah. I had a concern of a lady did not, she was, I think she's a mail carrier, but did not like the crushed concrete, and I think it was over towards Waterbury, concerns that it was hard on her tires. That's
and the Red Rock, too.
And the Red Rock also, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
And I guess, if we wanted to spend another $6 a ton, we could probably get the material out of Pilger or West Point. At least the last bids we got 4 or 5 years ago was, they're considerably higher. Get it in the yard, and we could put it out for bids again, just see, you know, where we're at, cost-wise, what there are today, and I can't be in, they're not going to be any cheaper.
No, but that might not be a bad idea, just to put it out to bids and see where we're at.
I think we should.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Jolene about that.
Yeah.
Okay, Troy, thank you for doing that road report. Item B is approve appointment of part-time seasonal weed superintendent. Ron Hartnett is here, and Ron has signed up to be our new part-time weed superintendent. Ron has his summers off from teaching, sub-teaching here around the area, and thank you, Ron. So he hasn't been certified yet, so or doesn't have his applicator's license, let's put it that way. So we have a meeting scheduled for Thursday. Ron and I and Adam, somebody from the state, just to go over some items. And so I would make a motion to approve Ron. We need to appoint him as the part-time weed seasonal superintendent. With the stipulation of passing his applicator's license, which I'm not sure when that is. Of course, he won't be out doing any spraying until he gets that. But so if we can get that done shortly, we will. So.
Working through the road department? I mean, through the road department, this position?
No, I don't think so. I guess it's on separate, isn't it?
It is separate.
It's not through the road department?
No.
It has been in the past.
Past, oh, yes.
Okay.
But we kind of changed that up.
It has been.
All right.
I think in the other counties, it's independent of the road department.
It is, okay. I didn't really know how it works.
Dixon County, I think, is. They got their own weed board.
Okay.
They're pretty big about it. I mean, they do it like several people follow.
So I think I made.
I'll second.
I made the motion. So a motion by myself, seconded by Troy, to appoint Ron as the weed superintendent with the stipulation of getting his applicator's license, and we'll know more about that on Thursday.
Right.
All right?
Yep, okay.
Thanks, Ron. Call the roll, please, Sheree.
Okay, Bob?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, item C is Teresa Grove, Health Department Director, for her quarterly report. Teresa, hello.
Hello.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi. Our CDC Health Disparity Grant, we billed out $1,160.34 for our third quarter. We bought bus passes last quarter and gave them out to people trying to get to COVID appointments and different testing, and people that couldn't come here for testing that lived in South Sealer, wherever. We gave out bus passes to them.
So you could probably use certs?
I just got his phone number.
Okay.
Our two-year contact tracing is going to be up in November, and our COVID cases are way down. We haven't had a lot to do with contact tracing lately. Our vaccination activities, we billed out in the third quarter $16,456 on that. But again, they're falling off. We haven't had a whole bunch. Our immunization grant, the third quarter we billed out $2,868.36. We got word at the end of last year that instead of getting $41,000, we are only getting $38,000. So that was kind of not good. Our lead grant, we just got the DocuSign on it, which was supposed to be here at the end of December. We just got it like 2 weeks ago. The state is having a lot of turnover. So in order, they used to send us out the report, we'd fill it out, send it in, they'd send us money. Well, we've contacted everybody we can at the state to figure out where that is supposed to go, and we get passed to this person, this person, this person. So we're still working on trying to get our lead money for the last two quarters. Minority Health, we billed up $14,812 on that. We just turned in our new Minority Health grant in the budget. We're still waiting to hear if it's approved. We haven't heard on that yet. Opioid grant, we just billed out $16,565,000 on that. We went to two different conferences, one in Atlanta and one in New Orleans. They brought back a lot of good information, so we're hoping to get a lot of stuff going. Our FAB accreditation, we are still working on. We billed out $602 on our last quarter for that. FEP grant and our bioterrorism grant, we billed out $13,239 on that. Radon, we just billed out $212, and it's pretty much over for the year because the house has to be completely closed up for it to work. West Nile virus, we have Jeff from the state coming tomorrow so he can teach us how to go and trap mosquitoes. So that'll be interesting. The grants that we have that are over right now are Living Well and the MCH grant. Any funding updates? So we received $161,000 for our vaccinations that we did for COVID. That was nice. Our testing, we are pretty much done testing. We've had one in the last 2 weeks for COVID. This just kind of dropped off, which is great. United Pathways, we received $5,400 from them. FEMA, we're working on. There's money that we're going to have to return that we didn't get spent. it's like $17,000, but we're trying to work with them to figure out if we could keep it, but he's going to let us know this week. Is there any questions?
Grants, Teresa, are they, do they coincide with our fiscal year,
no.
Like July 1?
No.
Nothing coincides with anything?
No, but it's always.
Okay.
Yeah, no. I wish.
That'd be too easy, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Any idea how much of the budget is consists of grants in that department?
Almost all of ours.
That's what I was thinking. There's lots of different grants.
Almost all of ours.
All the projects involved.
We're almost.
So the lead one is the one that you're struggling figuring out how to.
And it's not a huge grant.
Yeah.
But
there's
nice.
Some all over the place. So you have to do each one of these separately.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they're all due at different times and.
Different documentation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, good. I'm glad things have slowed down a little bit from the COVID standpoint.
Yeah.
It helps.
We are too. And we're having our color run June 11th. We need volunteers. So.
You have the bouncing house this week?
Yes. Yes.
June 11th.
Yeah. Come out and throw color. You can come out and have fun.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. Item D, a board to discuss and approve to award the courthouse camera replacement project. Is there anybody here with regard to this item? Jason?
Yep.
Do you want to come up? I'm not even sure who you're with.
I'm Jason Bogenreif with Quality Telecommunications.
Okay.
So we've got the lowest bid on this right now.
Yep.
So any questions you might have on it, let me know. I looked at all three bids as well, because it's us, Aaron Voss, and Thompson.
Uh-huh.
Thompson's using a completely different system than Voss and I, so Voss and us are pretty apples to apples, as close as you can get. So there are differences between both systems.
Uh-huh.
Not a huge difference that you're going to notice much at all, but they're pretty much exactly the same coverage. So you look at my map, you look at Voss's map, they're the same. So you get the same video coverage whatsoever.
Okay? Same amount of cameras.
Yep, same amount of cameras, same everything. Everything's
the quality of the picture.
It's going to be the same. So, I mean, some you might get one better picture, but the other one you're not. So it's a give and take. So we have a 2 megapixel for an outdoor. They have a 3 megapixel, so 1 megapixel off, but
3 is better than 2, though, right?
Not in all cases. So 3 might be better in the daylight, but at night, it's not going to give you as good a coverage for the infrared. So there might be a 4K camera that's shooting right down the main walkway. We didn't put a 4K because at night, you're not going to see as far as a 4K. And then when you do use a higher megapixel camera, you have to use more data. It takes more hard drive space to store that data. It's a higher quality video, so in some cases, okay. Some of the newer chipsets we have in our 2 megapixels, which some of the 4 megapixels do not, so they perform equally as well. So we're Access certified, so we're an ACS specialist with Access. So we go to their designers, we run everything by them, make sure we're doing the right cameras in the right situations, that type of stuff. Because everyone's thinking, oh, bigger's better. Not in every single case. A 2 megapixel is going to give you better in a dark room than it is a 3 or 4 megapixel. So, the other difference was the servers. We're actually using a single server that can be put anywhere on your network. So it doesn't have to be in a closet. It can be put into the data room over at the LEC. So anyone can access it as far as getting connectivity to it. So you'd have an app on your phone or on your desktop or anything like that. So you don't have to have a room and sit there with a monitor. Okay. They did put the camera system in that room where it is today, which you can do that, but we can put our server there as well, but you don't have to have a monitor. You can view it on your desktops if you need to.
Or your phone.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
So you can have as many users. You can limit users too. So if you only want certain people to view certain cameras, that's all they have access to. It's just like you log into an app, then your credentials are set by your administrator, and they can only view what you allow them to. Mm-hmm. So you can have the LEC has a full administrator and someone else so they can make changes and see everything, or you can have every user say, hey, I want them to monitor this hallway, this access, whatever the case might be.
Okay. And you said you looked at all the quotes?
Mm-hmm.
So the service and things like that, contracts, I mean, can you just tell me?
So, with Voss's quote, I'm not sure what his warranty was. I could only find out maybe a 3-year. Ours is 5 with the cameras and the system. So you have coverage for a warranty for 5 years with the product. Thompson was 5 years on the appliances with a 3-year warranty. So the cameras have a 5-year warranty on Thompson, but the system only has a 3-year.
But yours is straight 5.
Yep, straight 5 with everything.
Okay. So, like on your warranty, you cover labor too of replacing a camera?
Not the labor, just the hardware.
Just
so
hardware.
If a server goes down, a camera goes bad, anything to do mechanically with that system, that's replaceable within 5 years. Okay, then we charge you $85 an hour to come up and fix it if we need to do it.
But how much is that server?
Server itself, I'm not 100% sure.
Roughly. As much as other servers that we have here.
Well, not as much, but they can run anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000 for a server. Plus, our server is a standalone where the other two servers are like an all-in-one server with switches in it. So if your switch goes out on your server, the whole thing has to be replaced and has to be reprogrammed and things like that. So we have the server, and then we have the switches separate. So if a switch goes out, you're still up. We just swap out a switch, and then you're up and going, and you have to redo the whole server itself. We can actually go up to 32 cameras if you decide to add any. The other two bids, you can only do up to 24.
And how many do we have now?
19. Maybe a 20th if we want one on the ballot box, directly to zoom in right away and get facial rec, but that's an option.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the coverage, like I said, is exactly the same.
So we could add to, if we wanted to, your system, we could add more cameras.
Yeah. So, and you can add to the other ones, just only the 24.
Just 20.
Ours is 32, yes. Okay. Yep, and if you need more hard drive space, when you do add more, you can actually add hard drive into our server, and I think you can with theirs too, but you can actually quadruple the storage space if you really wanted to.
Mm-hmm. There's room to grow.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So you're not stuck here, only until you reach 32 cameras. But then even that, you can just add another secondary server, plug into it, and then you can still move forward. That says with the monitors, we didn't add a monitor because you can use the monitor that you have or use your own desk station. So no need to throw in another application in there.
That should come in on my phone.
Correct.
If
you're approved. Yep, if you're approved, they set it up. They can give you certain views as you're driving the location, or you can get a notification, hey, something's moving out here at 10 o'clock. You can pull it up and look at it.
Even Larry's flip phone.
I got one.
Oh, you got a smartphone?
Yeah, it's a big thing. Okay, but I got to have it in, or the screen won't work on the truck.
Okay.
Yeah, so,
How long does it take for installation on a project like this?
This one, depending on how, the biggest concern is going to be the front one, getting a wire out to there, because we're running all new wires. Maybe a week or two. I mean, we've got a set crew that's specialized just in the wiring and then the camera. So we have 12 people on staff, probably 6 that are certified to do it. So we're not, And the only thing that might hold it up is depends on how long your decision is because of stock. We're waiting 6 months sometimes. But most everything we have, we've been getting within about 2 to 3 weeks. So once you say you're approved, we're looking 4 to 6 weeks out. We have a couple projects going on right now, but that's roughly about the time we're going to look at right now. But that could change to stock and everything.
Anything else for Jason? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Any other questions, board?
And that's it. Quality is the only person here to show up to. Okay.
Was this the one that we had a committee or no?
We had a committee of one, and he's not here.
Okay, all right.
right.
So.
Okay.
That's fine.
I think I'd make the motion for Quality Telecommunications to get the bid.
Okay.
Where are they at, though?
Where are you out of, Jason? Sergeant Bluff?
Sergeant Bluff, yeah.
That's what I thought. That's
How
what I
thought.
How
many years have you been in business?
30 plus,
actually
31.
Okay.
That's
a low bid.
Travy Quality?
That's a different. That's a different one, though.
Yeah, it's a low bid.
This is for the phone system.
That's a different one.
We're doing the corner, the camera.
Yeah, this is camera.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'll second.
Okay.
Was it Troy's motion?
Right. Motion by Troy, seconded by Janet, to approve Quality Telecommunications bid of $23,999. For courthouse camera replacement project. Call the roll, please.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes. All righty. Okay, item E, board to discuss and approve to award bids on the installation of new PBX telephone system for the Dakota County Courthouse. The board reserves the right to reject any or all bids. We had this one before also. Joan and I have been working on this one. And apples to apples, and obviously price is a lot different here on this one. I don't have any particular, I can't answer your specific questions, but I would move to approve TriView Communications as the low bid for the phone system of $41,400.
I'll second that.
All right.
Same company?
No.
Is there any area?
No.
Okay. Is that out of Sioux City?
No, sir, that's me again.
That's you?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think so, Jason.
Okay.
Oh, I do have questions.
Oh, okay, Janet does.
How come the price on this is different than the price on this? Oh, a management agreement, operational management agreement, mm-hmm. That's the difference.
Yeah. Jason, you want to comment anything on this at all?
Just if you have any questions.
Okay.
It's an Avaya system. I'm not sure I didn't get the other bit, so I'm not sure what they're using or anything.
Yeah.
But
I know Joan spent a lot of time.
Yeah, so we did get the questions answered and stuff like that. So.
I just noticed on the spreadsheet it was different, but it was that optional.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And there is a 5-year warranty on the phone system as well.
Right.
So,
okay.
So I'm sorry. So I motioned and Janet, you second?
Yeah.
All right. To approve then TriView for the phone bid of $41,400. Call the roll, please, Cherie.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
All right, motion carried. Jason, we'll be seeing you around.
All right. Thank you.
You bet.
Don't get too tired of
this. Okay, item F is to approve renewal of the interlocal agreement with Papio Missouri River NRD and Dakota County for office space rental for the UNL Extension office in Dakota County. For June 1st, 2022 to May 31st, 2025. This was, as you know, I think it's been agreed upon, the new rate of
$750
was
$600,
but that, I think that was agreed upon a while ago, and it never did get changed, so... anyway, that's the agreement before you today, and the amount.
$750 per month.
$750, that's correct.
From $600.
Right.
And all utilities are paid, correct?
Right.
That?
Yeah.
With utilities included, yeah.
I will. I'll make the motion to approve the renewal.
I'll second that.
All right.
I do have a question. I, you know, at one point we were looking at some space between here and the LEC, and
mm-hmm.
Are we still kind of in the process of looking at that?
Yeah, I think so.
I think this is a good location for them, don't get me wrong. I just
right,
thinking
right.
overall, thinking of the big
right.
picture.
Right.
So it's a good idea.
Well, this at least this contract, you know, till 2025. That'll.
Oh, what's for through 2 years?
That'll give us some time to. And who knows?
Oh, it's actually 3 years, isn't it?
Right.
That's what, that'd be my only question, but I mean, I wonder what the, that term is, would coincide with any rethinking we do on space here, mm-hmm. LEC, et cetera.
I'm sorry, who made the motion?
I did.
Troy did, and Janet, you seconded the motion? Okay. Call the roll, please, Sheree.
All right. Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Item G is to approve the county surplus report, which we just had that sale last week. No, a week ago, Friday. And
$31.
And did a whopping $31, but... it's just something we have to do. So I will make a motion to approve the surplus report.
Second that.
Thank you. Myself and Janet. Call the roll, please.
Bob?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay. Item H, approve chair to sign the NPDES, Small Municipal Separate Storm Sewer System Notice of Intent for small MS4s previously permitted. Sheree, any enlightenment on this one? This is a something...
Stormwater permits. It's just, it's required.
Is that yearly?
I'm not really sure on that, actually. I think Joan's recommendation in here is that this be taken over by the City of South Sioux and Dakota City, because our rural storm waters aren't really utilized or used.
This is the one we have the semi-annual meeting, isn't mm-hmm. it? And yeah, virtually everything that they...
The South Sioux, really?
Yeah.
Dakota City.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a reason why we have to be on the committee or something.
Mm, probably. So we need to approve this one, though.
I'll make a motion to approve.
All right. Motion by Troy, seconded by Larry, to approve the stormwater system agreement.
All right. Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes. All right. Item I, approve the Missouri River Northeast Community Wildfire Protection Plan 2022 update. You have documentation, Sheree?
A little bit. It just says here that Cedar, Dakota, Dixon, and Knox counties are included in this collaboration. There was a public review, and no one showed up to that, apparently, at their meeting. And so they're just asking for the county's support, and they will send us a booklet on what they put together for this wildlife protection plan.
Okay.
It's also available online.
All right.
I think it was in the paper. On the paper.
It might have been.
So it seems like it was. Something in there about it.
Deanna, I would guess, was kind of involved in this somewhere, like emergency management.
She was copied on it, yes.
Okay, so she went to close the public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
About that. But I mean, it makes sense. Wildfire protection plan and like what we've been seeing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. I'll make a motion to approve the wildfire protection plan 2022 update.
Okay, I'll second that. Call the roll, please.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Moving on then to item J is approved projects with monies from the American Rescue Plan Act relief funding. I do not have any items for the board. Anyone have any items to add to our list? I think one thing, Heather, you'll be happy to hear this. We need more we need more items. Larry, I know you had a list of.
Yeah, I can come up with another one.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that list of Larry's projects. I mean, we have the road department. We needed that equipment, or requested that equipment. So we need to. I think our next step, because I think if we don't have it yet, we're shortly. Soon going to get our next funding, and I know December 2024 sounds like a long time away, but you know it's really not. So with our, and I know the last meeting we did the seven road projects. And that is going to be in our budget discussions going forward, Janet. Whether they are budget or ARPA or things like that, depending on where things fall in that budget discussion. M Avenue is certainly a big ticket item that we have looked at and are continuing to look at, trying to come up with a plan on that. Larry, we have a meeting Thursday at 9:30 at M Avenue, remember? Did you write that down? You put that in that flip phone of yours? If not, this is your reminder. Thursday at 9:30. Troy's going to go also.
Oh, yeah,
so,
you told me at 9:30.
So the road department will be there to meet with the engineers to, you know,
I got a lot of questions.
Right, to answer those questions, and that'll be good to have you there, both of you guys, because you know lots about it. So, but with all that being said, I think
9:30 or 10:30.
9:30. So Larry, your road list you had of culverts, bridges, et cetera, we'll need to revisit that.
Yeah, right. I can't. I didn't want to run through out of money. That's why I quit with the list. I had 15 items. See the way they stacked.
Well, but we took. Were they all on there? I can't remember all the projects. Were they on?
The paving projects.
Right.
I don't think they were because.
There's one you have to come in for down on. Well, it's on the left, the way A1 junkyard.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small. It's about 550 foot. 23 foot wide, so I mean it's not a major item otherwise.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, those we need to.
Yeah.
We need to, and keep in mind the yeah. ARPA money is a hopefully for us a once in a lifetime situation that we'll be in. So the intention of the ARPA money was to for a one-time project. So a lot of these road projects and things like that, although they're definitely fall under the government services, I mean those are things we do all the time. So keep in mind going forward that one-time, you know, what can we do a one-time thing for the county, because we can, Janet, we can put those road projects in our budget, do those out of the budget, and then still have the, if it falls that way, still have that ARPA money to invest in something else. Now, it has to fall under the, you know, we can't go build a bowling alley. You know, it has to fall under the government services of things we do, but is there something that is out there that is a, I don't know if you really stop and think about.
I don't know either. We still have those two bridges there, and that Elk Creek there in Jackson. That, I mean, if we can't get right away, and we're going to have to condemn the property,
mm-hmm.
which I'm really not for.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be some way to come up with an agreement there to get a road out of there and get rid of those bridges. But we can't have the bridges like the way they are because. Well, what we got, there's those two people over there on the south side of the track. Okay, say we had a blizzard, they needed heating fuel or propane or something, you know, there ain't no way for them to get there. The way they're doing it right now is they run along the creek, on a road along the creek. Well, that one road's liable to fall off someday, and they ain't going to be there. It might not happen for 10 years or 20. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the railroad road that follows along the...
Yeah. And so, and then going east there, we got to get into a field to get out of the road right away. Well, I've already spoke to those people, and they're opposed to it, you know, selling property. We're not in the business of selling any land, they said. So then do you move forward and condemn it? I don't know.
I think the garbage truck, as I checked on that.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
They're doing some access through, like, on a farmer's road, I think.
It's the
railroad
road.
Tracks,
yeah, but they come from the east as well.
Right.
They can come from the west to get the one, and then from the east to get the other. None of them use those bridges.
Right. The thing about it is, it'd be a blizzard or something fill that all in.
Oh, yeah. Because it's not a
good
county
road.
County road, per se.
You know, or if it's really bad muddy and the frost going out in the spring of the year, you might have to pull them through with a tractor, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tricky place.
It is. I don't know. It's got to get addressed.
And I know there's still some things we've talked about here in the courthouse that need to be done as far as upkeep and different things. So those we're still looking at, and they'll be done eventually. But so anyway, just keep that in mind going forward on you know, a one-time thing that this would or the project would fall under, you know, something that we would do, but we never had the money to do. So let's we can talk about that till we're blue in the face, but let's move on to item 5, Commissioner Committee Reports. Janet, anything?
Let's see. Yes, we had the e-collection last Thursday, and it was a pretty good turnout for that. So right over here by in front of the NRD building, right in there. Also, got an email this last week that the city, I'm confused on a little bit, the city did get the grant for that completion on Highway 20?
They applied.
Oh, they applied.
They
okay.
applied from
okay.
Daniels
That's where I was
to
confused.
Lake.
Okay. So they haven't heard yet back?
No.
Okay. All right. So we don't need to do any, because one of our projects was related to that same stretch. So at this point, we don't have to worry about anything.
No.
As far as overlap. And then, of course, I think we were also on... conversation on some mowing opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it for me.
Okay. Larry, anything?
No, I did notice that Freedom Drive, or I think it is, that we used to mow.
Right.
I don't know who's doing it, but somebody really did a nice job on it.
The city did it this time.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Nice job.
Yeah.
Professional guy. You gotta have the equipment to do it, though.
Yeah.
See? You know, that big old thing more we had of it is,
Yeah, that's still a work in progress. They kind of did us a favor and said, we'll just do it this time and figure it out and going forward. So,
I thought we had it all figured out.
Well, it's done and it looked good for the weekend.
Yeah, it did.
And the holiday. So, anything else, Larry? All right, Troy.
SEMCO meeting just talked about people moving around in rural America and what's going on in rural America.
Oh yeah,
that was
really interesting.
It was an interesting meeting.
Okay, thanks for going to that for me. I have nothing in reports. I was gone last week. I'll report that. So then we'll move on to item 6, mail and or emergency business. Any mail and or emergency business? Maybe. Troy, is this the fence?
Oh, yeah. I sent everybody a video. I went out and looked the fence over, and I talked to Larry about it, and I guess we have to pay the gentleman something for doing it. It's a nice fence, a nice job, but maybe we would need to get kind of an itemized bill before we pay that, I think, maybe. Maybe a little something for labor and fence posts and fence and...
Did you talk to him at all?
No, he was out in the field, and I didn't drive up in the field. I just had my car, but
okay.
I didn't get a chance to talk to him.
Okay. Can you reach out to him and see if that's possible? I mean, I know he's...
Does anybody know if we have a phone number?
In his letter,
did he leave a phone number?
Handwritten letter?
Well, I'm sure we have a letter. I'm sure we have a letter.
I'd be happy to call.
Would you see, just see if we can get something?
Yep.
I mean, I think we need to have something for a claim.
And maybe the roads department might have his number too, if it's not in the letter. So
okay.
I'll work on that.
Okay.
Well, why wouldn't?
I don't know his name. You know his name?
The shop take care of it.
You know his name?
I can't remember his name.
I know. I'd have to find the letter.
We can get it. It's been kind of a. It happened when? Was it last year?
Yeah, it's a while ago.
Something last year.
And we didn't have pictures before
Hansen?
The
what?
Hansen? Was it
Hansen? Yeah, I think so. The last name I think is Hansen, but that doesn't do you much good.
There,
we're trying to work with him on.
Gordon Hansen.
Yeah, Gordon. Yeah.
I think
Gordon
so.
Hansen,
yeah. Yeah, I think Gordon Hansen is his name. But I'm not even. Troy knows where it's at.
I can drive there. That's.
So if you can talk to him, Troy, and just, you know, hey, look, we understand. Can you do something, a claim, or, you know, for a claim, et cetera, and
we'll, go from there.
We'll go from there.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right. So, anything else?
I just have a question. Early May, we had an email from the marshals and what have you, and they were going to send it. I thought they were going to email it, but I'm wondering, have they sent anything?
Oh, we have not got anything.
That is weird. It's been over a month. Well, we started in mid-March, met with them, mid-April on voice with the DC, and May they were anxious for something by mid-May or something. I thought maybe it was coming in the mail.
I don't have any. No.
Okay.
No news.
All because I'm decided. I'll be in jail.
All right. So, with that, we are adjourned.
Okay.